Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Monday, the 22nd of October. And we're in a pledge drive right now. We're going to have one extraordinary hour. It's a combination of things that you deeply care about and really attribute to somebody who did a great deal to champion the Constitution and particularly the Bill of Rights, Molly Ivins' last book before she died. We're going to be talking about that with a co-author of the book, and that's coming up in just one moment. But we are in a pledge drive, and this is it. We have less than an hour to ask you to support this particular program and all the wonderful conversations we've had together for many, many years now. Our pledge number is 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or you can pledge online at WPR.org. And Rhonda has put together a wonderful thank you gift for those of you who do pledge this hour, which combines a lot of what you believe in, and it's a great thank you to Molly Ivins, really, and to you as well for caring about issues. You care about what's going on, and that is a good thing. Hi, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
It's exciting. It's our last hour of the pledge drive. A pledge this hour of $120 is going to get you a copy. It's not even released until tomorrow, actually.
Oh, my.
It's being released tomorrow. The Bill of Wrongs, the Executive Branch's Assault on America's Fundamental Rights. It's Molly Ivins' last book, co-written with Lou DuBose, who worked with her on a couple of books prior to that one on Bushwhacked and Shrub are the two books that they co-wrote together. $120 this hour is going to get you that book and two other exciting pieces of news. If we make our goal this hour of the $7,000, we are going to get an extra $500 from existing members and listeners to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're also going to get another $5,000 from Atwood Systems. That's
500.
What I meant,
500. Yeah. Okay. I think they were going to go that far. But
happy Monday. Okay. So that's an extra $1,000 in challenge grants, Atwood Systems, and $500 from current members when we reach that $7,000 goal, which should be easy because I know that people out there have been following these issues and are fans of Molly Ivins. This is your chance to get hot off the presses. Well, it's not even off the presses
tomorrow.
Yet. Tomorrow, yep. The Bill of Wrongs. So $120 this hour only. Let's finish up a pledge on a good note.
Yeah, let's get just a lot of calls this hour. This book grows out of a longstanding commitment that Molly Ivins made. More than 15 years, she would do at least one free speech a month on behalf of the Bill of Rights. She started doing the speeches because of a promise that she made to a dying friend, and her final words to him were these, I will take care of the First Amendment. And so she has, she says you don't know what courage is until you sat in the basement of a Holiday Inn in Fritters, Alabama, with seven brave souls led by a librarian who are fixing to form a chapter of the ACLU, but she spells it A-Y-C-E-L-L-Y-O-U. She explains the First Amendment with good stories, and this particular book is a serious book as well. You got to have a sense of humor, which she certainly did. But it looks at assaults on the Bill of Rights that are taking place right now, and some brave individuals covered in this book all over the country.
It's all of those stories
who
are
jailed
gathered, right?
For wearing T-shirts, that kind of thing. You know, something that people care about if they live in America. It's our democracy. It's precious.
Again, so, those numbers. 800-383-9772, or you can log on to WPR.org. Again, a pledge of $120 this hour is going to get you a copy of Molly Ivins and Lou DuBose's book, Bill of Wrongs. And it's also going to help us reach that goal
right.
of $7,000 and receive that extra $1,000, $500 coming from existing members and $500 coming from Atwood Systems.
All right. Thanks very much, Rhonda. We'll talk to you a little bit later. We want to talk about this book now with Lou DuBose, who also co-authored with Molly Ivins Shrub and Bushwhacked. The book that we're talking about this hour is Bill of Wrongs, the Executive Branch's Assault on America's Fundamental Rights. And it looks at stories, some since September 11 and some before September 11, as the authors say, those who stand up for American freedom. But they look at the dark side of the stories. There are some genuinely dismaying stories in the book, and we'll talk about some of those. We'll talk about Molly Ivins' commitment to give one free speech a month on behalf of the Bill of Rights, her commitment to the Bill of Rights, and it should be really a good hour. Lou DeBose has written about Texas and national politics for 30 years, was editor of the Texas Observer and politics editor of the Austin Chronicle, currently edits the Washington Spectator. In 2003, he wrote The Hammer, Tom DeLay, God, Money, and the Rise of the Republican Congress. In 2006, Dick Cheney, or Vice is the name of it, Dick Cheney and the Hijacking of the American Presidency. And he takes it as his mission, as Molly Ivins certainly did. She died in January of 2007 this year, and a lot of people miss her desperately. But this was her last book, and so here it is, and it will be out tomorrow. And if you pledge $120, we're going to be very happy to send you this, so that it's a combination of purposes. It keeps us being able to do this kind of programming where we take on these kinds of issues that I got to tell you, very few people would right now. And also it carries on her spirit, which will be alive for a long period of time, I know. And Lou has offered to sign these books as well. Is that what he said? Well, that's terrific. All right. So Lou will sign these as well. And so pledge to 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772 for you to join our conversation. And let's just make a lot of money. It would make everybody feel really good. Make Molly Ivins feel really good. If there's some place after this, it would make her feel really good as well. Hello, Lou.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. So here she was working down to the very end, right? You know, I mean, it's a gift. This is a gift from both of you. It's a gift from Molly, and it's a gift from you. She cared about these issues when she could hardly speak.
You know, Molly was, as I noted in the book, she was not willing to leave the game, and she was determined to stay until the end. The last conversation I had with her was in the hospital. It was at one of our chapters, and one of the subjects, and Molly was just so determined that we get this woman in high relief in the chapter.
Yeah, I'm going to ask John to call you back. We want to be able to hear you clearly, and the phone is not really terrific here, so let's get a really good line for Lou and talk more about those final moments. And the book is filled with some really interesting and alarming stories of people who were wearing anti-administration T-shirts, who were at rallies they had been admitted to and spent time in jail. There's a phenomenally interesting chapter on Dover, Pennsylvania, and that long debate about whether or not creationism, intelligent design, or evolution should be taught in the schools, and who's sitting in the courtroom but the great-great-grandson of Charles Darwin, and his comments about the people who mattered in that. Detainees at Guantanamo, we'll talk about those people. We'll talk about people who've had offices searched and computer files kind of ransacked. And they're just a lot of disturbing stories that I think not too many people know about that are found in this book. So we're getting at Lou on another line here so we can hear him very clearly. Lou DeBose is our guest. He co-authored this book with Molly, the last book, Bill of Wrongs, The Executive Branch's Assault on America's Fundamental Rights. So let's make sure. Hello, Lou?
Yes.
There, now I hear you better.
I my echo.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun having an echo.
But it wasn't for me because I couldn't hear you. So so I need to have you repeat what you were saying about Molly and how she wanted this book out, even though she was pretty weak at the end. She wanted it out. She wanted this story told.
Absolutely. You know, I have to say that when you hear this phrase, after, you know, died, comma, after a heroic struggle with cancer, it's become almost like a cliche until it occurs with someone close to you.
Mm.
And in Molly's case, as in many cases about which we read, this was a heroic struggle, and she didn't want to give up this book. She didn't want to give up the game. I talked to her in Seton Hospital. Well, one, I flew to New Jersey for an interview 2 weeks before she died, and I said, she was lying in bed at home, and I told her, Mom, I'll call you when I get, as soon as I get back, I'll call you, we'll come over and talk. And she had, you know, what we now know is sort of the John Ashcroft hospital bed moment, in which she filled with indignation, and she said, when you get back, call me when you finish the interview, please, call me as soon as and I got back, and she was in the hospital, and she was honestly sort of in and out of consciousness, and what she wanted to talk about was Sue Niederer, one subject in our book, a woman who was arrested for wearing an anti-George Bush T-shirt saying, George Bush killed my son, President Bush killed my son, because her son died in the and the war in Iraq. And Molly wanted this chapter framed a certain way, and she knew she wasn't going to write it. But she was just clinging to this to what has been her lifelong passion, which is two passions. One is a devotion to her profession of journalism, and the other was this extraordinary devotion to the Bill of Rights. And I thought, well, way to go.
Way to go is right. Did you then promise to her, as she promised to her friend John Henry Falk, that you would take care of the First Amendment, Lou?
I did as much as I could. Molly was a better woman than I am, and so I didn't. We talked about that, and she said, "You know, I know your commitment to these issues is strong, but John Henry Falk was a wonderful Texas humorist who was blacklisted in the 50s for his radio program and lost his radio program on CBS. And he wrote a wonderful book called Fear on Trial about being blacklisted. He was supported by Edward R. Murrow. Edward R. Murrow, I think, mortgaged his house
to lend him
the money to defend himself. So John was Molly's and many of our guiding spirit, and he died some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this book is infused with the thinking of John Henry.
And she, when she was with us a couple years ago, she was talking about these free speeches that she would give once a month, speeches on behalf of the Bill of Rights, speeches on behalf sometimes of the ACLU all over the country, but not at the places where you would expect there'd be a lot of liberals to turn out. She picked tough places.
Yes. When Molly did speeches, she went to the least likely place to find a gathering of First Amendment progressives. Small towns where a librarian and 10 or 12 people were trying to form a chapter of the ACLU, or some place where, you know, some Catcher in the Rye was banned. And she did this. She commanded a fairly substantial speaking fee. She wasn't like Poppy Bush or Bill Clinton. She didn't get $1 million a pop, but Molly could get $10,000 to $15,000 to $20,000 for speaking, and she did one of these a month around the country and charged nothing. It was really her passion.
Yeah, it was. Let's talk about that story that she wanted you to call her right away, and it's the story of the Sue. How do you pronounce her name?
Niederer,
whose son. Whose son was fighting with people on the phone because he didn't have enough equipment in Iraq, and he goes to Iraq and they send him too soon, and he winds up dying, and she becomes a protester. Tell us her story, how Molly wanted that framed, because we don't hear very many of these stories, Lou. They just don't make the news.
You know, when they do, they're short lived.
Right.
And part of the idea behind this book was that we would allow people to tell their stories. And this was Molly's MO, and she said, let's just sit down in Sue's living room and let her and let's get out of the way and let this woman tell her story. And it was a truly compelling story. I mean, she didn't want her son was this bright kid from New Jersey, graduated from college. She didn't want him to join the army. He joins the army. She said he was promised that he would his specialty and officer training school would not take him to Iraq, and he's immediately assigned to Iraq and sent to Iraq. He comes home on his first leave. He's just married. He and his wife are at their house in this New Jersey suburb where I visited her and her husband, and that was the point at which she said her sweet little boy was furious upstairs. You know, a kid who never raised his voice. And I talked to friends and neighbors and teachers and relatives. And this was one of these young American kids that every one of us would want to wrap up and take home as our own child.
Yeah.
And then he's arguing with her. We have no equipment. We need body armor. We need radios. He's yelling at his boss and at his commanding officer, and he's furious. He goes to Iraq, and some months later is killed disarming an IED.
Mm.
And it became her campaign. She was a pacifist from the beginning, but it became her personal campaign to end the war. And she went to an event where Laura Bush was speaking. She wore her son Seth's campaign hat, his fatigue hat that he'd given her. And she had a T-shirt that said, "George W. Bush, President Bush, you killed my son." And she had it under another overshirt, a regular shirt. And she took it off and was immediately, and Laura Bush was speaking, and she stood up and she asked the question, and she said, why aren't your children serving? And then she took the shirt off. You know, Sue told me, she said, I thought for just a minute that this mother would recognize my pain and relate to me.
Right.
But instead, she was surrounded by people waving placards. Sue was. Laura Bush showed no compassion, and this woman was dragged to jail.
Hmm.
Held in jail, and then charges were dropped against her. She didn't even know the charges were dismissed. And this seems to be a standard operating procedure around the country at these events. They file spurious charges. The White House Advance Office and the Secret Service are improperly used. And it seems like our echo is back.
Yeah, it is a little bit. But you're coming in clearly. Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can.
Okay,
I can.
Good.
I get to hear myself twice, which is probably what my wife suffers from. You know.
You're worth it.
So Sue, you know, this happens all the time. And actually, you know, as one result of one of these cases is that the Secret Service Advance Team manual was released, and it included instructions about how to suppress protest speech.
Hmm.
Surround these people. A chant, USA, USA, whatever you see someone. Well, this is not what the Secret Service is supposed to do. They're supposed to provide the president's security, but not protection from political dissent. This country was founded by dissent.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And she was,
that's America.
That's what we're supposed to be about. I mean, this was much milder than death to King George, sort of founding fathers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here you have this woman, a grieving mother, is dragged to jail. Her son made, you know, what we often call the ultimate sacrifice for this country, and she couldn't stand up at a campaign event in her own hometown and make that point without being subject to arrest. And there are a couple of other cases that two terrific kids from they're now in Houston were. They went to the official 4th of July visit to Charleston, South Carolina in 2004 to see the president, and they wore shirts that said that with a universal no symbol to Bush. They were dragged from.
And she was working for FEMA, wasn't she? Was that the one? Was she the one working for FEMA, Lou?
She was working for FEMA.
Okay.
She was dragged from. The two of them were dragged from the She was. You know, she was a FEMA officer and in a temp officer in Charleston. This was the official presidential visit. It wasn't a campaign event. It was, you know, the security, the whole works were paid for by our taxpayers, and by us as taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
They were both, you know, physically dragged from the event while the high school band was playing America the Beautiful.
Mm.
And after that, they were in jail when they were in jail listening on the radio when George Bush was talking about. In his 4th of July speech, how in this country we honor freedom of expression and an individual's right to say what he wants to say. I regret, of course, the loss of my friend and the country's loss of this extraordinary woman, but I also regret that Molly did not stick around long enough to see the U.S. Treasury Department Treasury hand them a check for $80,000 based on their lawsuit. And an apology. To these two, and they're just terrific kids. They're both, one's in law school, I think they're both in law school now in Houston, Texas. You know, this woman, FEMA fired her. They told her to clean out her desk, to turn in her rental car contract and keys, to check out of the hotel, and any other expenses occurred after 6 o'clock the following afternoon would be on their tab. But then they told her, you're not fired.
Right, you're not fired. Well, the thing that runs through some of these cases that you outline is that people, they don't know what to charge these people with because what they're doing is perfectly legal, right? So they got to scramble in their minds to come up with something that may potentially be illegal.
Exactly. You know, an attorney in South Carolina told me that they use what they call the Barney Fife method. The feds come in advance and they call a local sheriff and they get Barney all pumped up. Barney Fife, for younger listeners, the sheriff on Mayberry RFD, the Andy
Griffith
show. Yeah. Yep. They get the local sheriff all pumped up and say, we're going to protect the president. You're our front line of defense. and they get them all fired up about protecting the president, tell him any kind of dissent, you take them out. But then when they get these people in custody, you know, in this case, these two kids in I say kids, they're in their 20s, they're kids to me. These two kids in mid-20s, these two kids in South Carolina were charged with trespassing. But you can't, the attorney who represented them, Harvey Payton, of the ACLU attorney, said, it's like trespassing in the library. You know, you're in a public place. It was the Capitol grounds. So the trespassing charges did not stand. But this young couple was smart enough and courageous enough to say, you know, we're going to sue them because our civil rights have been violated. We were arrested for wearing T-shirts on the 4th of July. So it's those people that have challenged those charges that now have local authorities refusing to go to bat to provide political, not security, because, you know, God knows the president needs security. I mean, those of us who lived through the wave of assassinations in the 60s with JFK and Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, but JFK in particular regarding the president, know that the president needs security. But this is not security. This is political protection for the president. And local police bear the burden. I mean, they drag these local cops into court. They have to hire lawyers, and then they leave and go away. You know, they don't come back. The feds don't. The Secret Service doesn't. And they're using them to suppress free speech.
We're going to welcome phone calls for Lou. Lou DeBose is our guest. He is co-author with Molly Ivins. This was her last book before she died last January. Bill of Wrongs: The Executive Branch's Assault on America's Fundamental Rights. Obviously, Lou worked closely with her and was a dear friend of Molly Ivins. They worked together on two books that were bestsellers in this country for a long period of time, Shrub and Bushwhacked. Lou's written about Texas and national politics for 30 years. He was editor of the Texas Observer and politics editor for the Austin Chronicle, currently edits the Washington Spectator. He's also the author of The Hammer, Tom DeLay, God, Money, and the Rise of the Republican Congress. And he's also author of Vice, Dick Cheney and the Hijacking of the American Presidency. This book is about attacks made on the Bill of Rights, and it looks at stories that are very alarming from around the country. It grows, really. It was set out to be a tribute to Molly Ivins and to the people who make the Bill of Rights more than just dead words on an old parchment. The authors, Molly and Lou, wanted to write the book with a belief that every generation of Americans has to work to keep the Bill of Rights. It was a particular passion of Molly Ivins, and these are stories that that have not been highlighted very much by the press and that are a threat to the Bill of Rights. We'll talk more about them with Lou, and welcome your phone calls. If you'd like to join this conversation, please feel perfectly free to pick up that phone and call, and we'll put you on the air. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're calling in Milwaukee, it's 227-2050. And I also need to tell you that we are in a pledge drive. We do these kinds of issues, as you know, all the time. And as a thank you to you for supporting the conversation that you hear, and as a thank you to Molly and to Lou for highlighting trespassing on the Bill of Rights, I would urge you to call and pledge. To say nothing of the fact that you only have a half hour to pledge to this program, and then we're done asking you for money now. It's all over. So call with your pledge for $120. This book is it hasn't been released yet. It's going to be released tomorrow, so you'll have an early copy of it. And I know we have a lot of Molly Ivins fans in this audience as well. We did a show after she died with great tribute to Molly Ivins. It was a good show. So pledge at 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772. We will send you a copy of Bill of Rights written by Molly Ivins, her last book, and Lou DeBose. And that's that. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to welcome phone calls for Lou, 800-486-8655. I do want you, people want to read the book, but I do want you to talk about actions taken probably under a provision of the U.S. Patriot Act. You start this chapter, this wasn't quite Watergate, but there are similarities, second-rate burglars, state secrets, an office complex overlooking a big American river, the political use of the courts and the Department of Justice to sustain a cover-up and a corrupt administration. Tell us the story of Jonathan Norling, please, Lou.
Well, this is a real unusual case because it turns out that it's the only case. This involves the NSA secret wiretaps, secret and illegal wiretaps, and there was a small Muslim community center and community and Quran center in Southern Oregon. It was shut down, and it was declared a globally designated global terrorist. So they hired some attorneys, they being the center, the Al-Haramain Islamic Center, hired attorneys to try to figure out how they were listed as terrorists, because they were handing out Qurans and they were teaching the Quran in Southern Oregon. What happened was one of the strangest events. The attorney in Washington, Lynn Burnaby, is a really distinguished attorney in Washington, and I mean not a radical left, not a radical religious, just a highly regarded Washington attorney. On a Friday afternoon, she was mailed copies of a big packet of documents, and by the Office of Foreign Assets Control that had listed them as a terrorist and had taken and seized their money, listed her client Al-Haramain as a terrorist. So she called them and said, "Can I have 10 days to respond to this?" They said, "No, you have till Monday morning," which seemed unreasonable. So in response, she sent all these to the copy shop and disseminated these packets to all principals and attorneys. There were five or six attorneys. There was a Washington Post reporter who was writing about it.
Hmm.
And there were two clients in the Middle East, one in Saudi Arabia. She sends them all out, and a month later, the FBI comes back to her office and said there were pages of top secret documents in there, and the top secret documents were transcripts and logs of illegal surveillance between the attorneys, conversations between the attorneys, not Lynn, but other attorneys, mm-hmm. representing Al-Haramain, and one of their representatives in Saudi Arabia that provided them some funding. It's the only evidence, the only paper trail that establishes that there was illegal wiretapping going on. But in the meantime, John Norling, whom you mentioned at the beginning, he works with an attorney named Tom Nelson. And what he found out was, that he was sleeping on the couch at the lawyer's office one morning, and the cleaning crew comes in, opens the door, they see him, and they run away.
Hmm.
They were not the cleaning crew. They were sneak and peek guys from the FBI. Hmm. It has not been proven, but they were broken into a number of times once they had these top secret documents. The FBI finally got them back, but they circulated them, of course, around the country. That case is now in court, and is this echo too?
No,
difficult to hear.
It's okay. We're hearing you fine. I'm not sure what's causing the echo, but as long as it's not driving you crazy, we're okay.
Oh, well, I stay crazy. I live in Texas and write about people like Tom DeLay. So that case is now before the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco. But the FBI or someone from the federal government had been breaking into a number of people's offices,
hmm.
trying to retrieve documents or look at their litigation strategy, one or the other, because they finally got the documents back. I mean, FBI agents showed up at these lawyers' offices and said, "Give us the documents back and don't remember what you read," which is a little bit like kind of Maxwell Smart police work.
Yeah.
But the idea that, one, there was illegal warrantless eavesdropping, and two, that they were violating attorney-client privilege, has the judges on the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco, which is a fairly progressive court, has the judges pretty concerned for the tenor of the hearing on this particular case.
Mm. Let's go to some phone calls here. Daryl from Delavan. Hi, Daryl.
Good morning, Kathleen and
Hi,
Lou.
Hi,
and thank you very much for this program.
You're welcome.
I wish for more people to become aware of this action and actions of this administration. Our rights have been more than just violated, and our freedom seems only a word that drifts away on the wind through an open window in Washington. I say that because it's not only the administration, but the bureaucracies, plural, that allows this all to unfold.
No, I'm inclined to agree with Errol. I mean, I think that we need to work in concert and in defense. It's going to take years to undo what's been done, but this administration has really. If you look at judges, one thing I found in this book where cases are adjudicated more fairly and with the Bill of Rights in mind, you have judges who were not appointed by George W. Bush. The Bush bench is one of the worst in the history of this country, and it will not just at the Supreme Court, the district court, 800 and some judges, enormously important. I think it's the crown jewel of our government, those judges, and there are a number of young Bush judges who will be in there for a long time.
Thanks very much for the call. Another story, and you've got a chapter on Guantanamo. If you could just briefly talk about that. There's a story that was with us for a while, and I don't even know how many people are still there or how many people have been sent back because they realized that there wasn't anything to hold them for. There's another story that's been kept pretty secret for some time, Luke.
Yeah, it's also, Kathleen, it's kind of become background noise. I mean, we have come to accept it. But you know that no one, not one person, has litigated his way or her way, his way, I think they're all men, out of Guantanamo. When they're released, we just dump them. We dispose of them. But you cannot go to court. There has not been one legal proceeding since 2001 now. There's not been one legal proceeding in which anyone got a fair hearing. Almost. Fair hearings. When, for example, the man that I focused on is Murat Kurnaz, who was in Guantanamo. Here's a guy. When I interviewed him in Bremen, Germany, he was out of Guantanamo. He was 24 years old. He was telling me this story we don't prosecute people for doing stupid things. And we certainly don't torture people for doing anything. This man was a fundamentalist Muslim living in Germany, a second generation. His parents were Turkish, and he wanted to study his religion, so he went to Pakistan. He made the mistake of going in October of 2001. Right after the attacks when these big sweeps were occurring. I can understand the American government having missed on intelligence. Going out and conducting these enormous sweeps. What I can't understand is picking a man up. Let's with a presumption of guilt, and that's where this begins wrong. They pick him up and they presume he's guilty. The Pakistani police take him off a bus in Peshawar. He was headed home for Germany after 20 days, 30 days in Pakistan. He was on his way home. They arrest him. They turn him over to American authorities. He is blindfolded and. Moved around Pakistan for 10 days. He's beaten, he's tortured, and then he's delivered to an American enlisted man in an airport. The first words he heard from any official representative of the United States, and I'll spell them out, I'll be careful, were sit down, MF. Mm. And that began, and then he was taken to Kandahar, Afghanistan, and in Kandahar he was hanged by his wrist and interrogated while he was hanging, sometimes left hanging for the full day by his wrist. Mm. An American physician came in and examined, and where they would lower him and they would drop him down to the floor. He would check his vitals to determine whether they could hang him up, whether he could sustain more interrogation. Mm. That's not what this country is about.
Yeah.
His attorney in Germany, Bahar Azmi, said, you don't torture guilty people. And he said, you don't torture innocent people. And they said, we don't even torture guilty people. Hmm. From there, he went to Guantanamo. And 4.5 years in Guantanamo, what Judge Joyce Helen Hans Green found out in district court in Washington, she couldn't get him out of jail. She wrote a 78-page opinion, but there's no vehicle by which these Guantanamo prisoners can be set free.
Yeah.
But the judge wrote... an angry opinion, because what she knew from the classified file was that 2 years after they arrested him, the CIA and German intelligence had concluded that he was innocent.
Oh,
he represented no threat to the American people or to the German people. But they you have a disposal problem because you have these people who have been tortured.
Yeah.
And they'll go home and talk about torture. So they kept him there for 5 years.
Oh,
and this judge was infuriated. But a federal district judge in Washington could not order these people out of Guantanamo because there is no route out except the sort of kangaroo courts that they have tried and tried again,
mm-hmm.
to the military tribunals in Guantanamo to restart. So he finally got out. Murat Kurnaz got out because Angela Merkel, the Prime Minister of Germany, she's the Prime Minister, she's I'm having too much information in my head.
President?
No. It will come to me.
All right.
Angela Merkel, when she was elected, came to and met with George Bush, and Gerhard Schroeder had been a staunch opponent of Bush, and she was pro Bush. She came and met the president her first month in office, and she said she made the case that this was too embarrassing. That they had to could she please do Germany a favor and her a favor. And released it. He was released. He was flown home on a C-130 after they knew he was innocent. He was being returned to Germany. He was strapped in the cargo bay in a chair. He was blindfolded, gagged, wore a diaper, had covers over his ears, could not move for 17 hours. The plane refueled in air, and they dropped him on the ground at Kaiserslautern Air Force Base. His attorney said they dropped him as if he were an alien being returned to his planet. You know, this is Jim Hightower, my fellow Texan and friend, often says, you know, before we can be a great country, we've got to be a good country, and this is just not is not the conduct of a good country.
No, it sure isn't. You need to write a book about that guy's story.
You know, here's a wonderful note, Kathleen. Murat Kurnaz wrote a book in Germany. In Germany, called 4 Years of My Life.
Oh, really?
And it has been translated into English, and it's going to be made into a movie. And it's an extraordinarily compelling movie. If you read the book is almost cinematic. Listen, the indignity to which they subjected this man up to they knew he was innocent.
Yeah.
3 years later, they were the day they were releasing him, the day he was being told he was released, he was taken to a holding cell and he was chained to the floor. His wrists were chained to the floor, as he describes it, and his chair was moved a little bit away from the table where the telephone was. And he was told he was going to get an important telephone call. The phone rang and he couldn't reach it. He couldn't reach it, so he used his foot and his head to knock the phone receiver onto the floor. Because he was completely chained. On the phone was Bahir Azmi, his attorney from Seton Hall. And some of these American attorneys are heroic because they do this for nothing.
Right.
Bahir Azmi was on the phone and he said, and Murat told me that he said the only thing I heard was, Bahir, you're going to be freed. You're going home. Mm-hmm. You know, the final indignity was not allowing the guy to answer the phone. And there's something wrong with a country with citizens that allow their military, our military, to conduct itself that way and in that fashion. And I just, again, we cannot be a great country unless we are a good country.
Yeah, and on that note, we're going to ask for some money. Will you come back? I want to do a full hour, you know, a couple weeks from now on, because there are all these other stories. And
I'd love to.
Thank you. Oh, good.
I'd love to. And I also consider National Public Radio and public radio affiliates guardians of our Bill of Rights and of free speech. I really do believe that. And,
yep.
They can call me back and sign me up for the pledge drive.
Oh, thank you, Lou. All right, Guardians of our Bill of Rights. I like that. We'll use that. We'll pledge with that, Lou. Thank you so much.
Okay,
thanks for
thank
the
you.
Book.
Hope
thanks.
I didn't bring my family shame.
Yeah, thanks for working with Molly, and thanks for being with us. We've only touched on the stories that are in this book. I like what he said, that we're guardians of the Bill of Rights. Hear ye, hear ye. 800-383-9772 for you to pledge. We're happy to send you this book. And Lou graciously said that he would autograph this book, which is meaningful. It's a book that he did with Molly Ivins right before she died. And she was a fierce defender of the Bill of Rights and wanted this story out, even though she was, as he said, in and out of consciousness. She wanted this story out. All right, so... did I give you the number? 800-383-9772 on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And so here we are, the last 14 minutes of our pledge drive, and what an appropriate way to end the pledge drive with a gift of this book, Molly Ivan's last book. Lou said he would autograph it, and all these issues that we have talked about, is, we'll use his phrase, guardians of the Bill of Rights. Call with your pledge, 800-383-9772. Rhonda Fanning is joining me, producer of the program.
Good morning.
Bill Estes is also here, our regional manager here in Milwaukee, and... Well, kind of
this
takes your breath away,
yes.
You know, what he's talking about. Oof.
But this is certainly the hour to call, 800-383-9772,
right.
Or you can log on to WPR.org. A pledge this hour of $120 is going to get you a copy of Molly Ivan's and Lou DuBose's last book, The Bill of Wrongs. And it's also going to bring us one step closer to that goal this hour. And we have two challenge grants this hour, each for $500, one from a group of existing members and one from Atwood Systems. So that's an extra $1,000 if we can make our goal this hour. So it's so important. And it's the last hour to pledge for Kathleen's
program.
Yeah,
that's right. It's the last hour here, guys.
A perfect book. It's fun. We had a great conversation. This one is going, you know, tons of great stories. It says to all the daring, courageous, just plain stubborn, ordinary Americans who have ever gotten up on their hind legs and said, well, that's not right. That's not fair.
Yeah.
This book is dedicated to you. And so I know a lot of you out there are going to just enjoy reading this, pass it on to friends and family. 800-383-9772 or log on to WPR.org.
And doesn't that just sound like Molly Ivins herself?
Mm-hmm.
When Kathleen, you've had her on many times over the course of the year. She always sparks some great discussions, some great conversations. She always has something challenging to say and interesting to say. So if you appreciate this quality of guest, and with Lou DuBose as well, this quality guest that you hear every morning here on Wisconsin Public Radio and throughout the day and throughout the evening and all weekend long, go to your phone right now and pledge your support at 800-383-9772. And as Kathleen and Rhonda just said, we have about 12 minutes remaining in this hour, and then as far as Kathleen Dunn is concerned, this pledge drive is over. So we need to hear from you right now. You'll get the autographed book if you pledge at the $10 per month level, and you'll help us make this hourly goal to get those two additional $500 challenge grants from current members and from Atwood Systems. So perfect timing. What could be better? Go to your phone right now, 800-383-9772.
I mean, we even had our guest pledge this hour. You know, put me on hold.
Everybody
I'm
going to
pledge it. And he doesn't need the book. He's already written the book. So,
he's going to sign each one of yours.
Yeah,
call
very,
this hour.
Very nice. I like that we are the guardians of the Bill of Rights, that he thinks of public radio that way. And I like his line, too, that in order to be a great country, we need to be a good country. And I think that we keep that in mind with a lot of the shows that we do, that you can't be a great country without being good. And we look at where... There is the opposite of good on some of our shows and highlight those, and somebody needs to do it. So we're doing it.
Someone's got to write these books.
Somebody's
got to
do it.
Someone's
got to
talk about them.
Yeah. So it's a perfect, end of our pledge drive for our participation to you. The stories are disturbing. The stories will make you say, as Rhonda said, that's not right. Something needs to be done about this. We're living in America. 800-383-9772 is the number. $120. We'll be happy to send you this book. And Lou's going to autograph it for you. And it hasn't even been...
It's
out tomorrow. Tomorrow is the day that it's out. 800-383-9772.
Because you listen, because you feel that Wisconsin Public Radio is a guardian of the Bill of Rights, it's perfect hour for you to call to get Molly Ivins and Lou's book, The Bill of Wrongs. 800-383-9772, or you can log on to WPR.org, a pledge of $120. For the last remaining 9 minutes of the pledge drive for Kathleen's show, call now, get the copy of the book. And you're just going to feel better. You're going to feel like you're doing your part to protect our Bill of Rights, protect our freedoms, read about people that have not been so lucky in this country. WPR.org or 800-383-9772.
Many, many, many listeners are listening online right now across Wisconsin and around the world, for that matter. Kathleen gets calls from Mexico, New Mexico, Arizona, California, and beyond. So if you're online right now, just click at the top of Wisconsin Public Radio's homepage at WPR.org. We have a very secure server there which will take your pledge of support, and it'll only take you a couple minutes to log in, give us your name, your address, and how much you'd like to contribute at this hour to Kathleen Dunn, and then how you want to spread out your payments. Easily done, but you have to go to your on the web right now, WPR.org, and do it in the next, 6 or 8 minutes, because we do need to round out this last hour of Kathleen's pledge drive in the black, and you can do it if you pledge right now at WPR.org.
There's a lot of meaning associated with pledging this hour, Bill and Rhonda, because Molly Ivins unfortunately died way too young, but she was an astute political observer and very funny. She also believed that you got to laugh, and you got to laugh. And this was something that she wanted to do before she died. So it's her final book. You've got Lou DeBose's association with her. The two of them were very good friends. And it highlights, assault on the Bill of Rights. And she really believed that this story had to get out there. And you heard his compelling stories of some of what's in this book. We only touched on some of the stories. There are many, many others. Bill of Wrongs is the book. So it's somehow fitting. It's the last hour of our pledge drive. And we bring you stories that, I'm moved many, many times when we have conversations on the air. I'm moved by what our people have to say. Think about it when you leave. And it guides your life in some way. So this is sort of a good way to end this. It's got a lot of depth to it, is what I'm trying to say. Just trying to get it out there. 800-383-9772. 800-383-9772. For your pledge of $100, we'll send you Molly Ivins' last book, Bill of Wrongs, The Executive Branch's Assault on America's Fundamental Rights.
Well, listeners are drawn into the conversations, and I'm sure, Kathleen, you have had it, Rhonda, you have, and our listeners out there have had it where you won't leave the office till you hear the last little bit of the conversation, or as you're driving, you'll sit in your driveway or sit in the parking lot of Home Depot or the shopping center waiting for the last bits of conversation, because Wisconsin Public Radio conversations are so compelling and so interesting, and the folks that Kathleen and Rhonda bring on are accessible most of the time, many of the times, only on Wisconsin Public Radio. Long-form, in-depth conversations found right here. If you appreciate that, go to your phone right now and pledge to our volunteers at 800-383-9772. And if you can, pledge at the $10 a month level. Pennies a day will get you the autographed book. And our great thanks for each and every pledge that's come through this morning. But you have 6 minutes to do it, to pledge for Kathleen and Rhonda this morning. So go to your phone right now, 800-383-9772. And if you do it right now, you will help be one of the 60 or 70 people this hour to help Kathleen and Rhonda make the goal. 800-383-9772.
A pledge this hour is not just for Kathleen's show. It is for Molly Ivins and Lou DeBose and those people out there standing up for the Bill of Rights and freedom of speech and public radio. 800-383-9772. If I can remind everyone of those two challenge grants that we have this hour, two very important make our goal this hour. We have that $500 that's going to be donated by a group of current listeners, and we also have an additional $500 that's being donated by Atwood Systems. That's if we make our goal this hour. And what a perfect hour when we make our goal. What a perfect hour to do this.
Be
the
positive.
Bill of Wrongs, the Executive Branch's Assault on the America's Fundamental Rights, Molly Ivins. It's a perfect hour to pledge. 800-383-9772. I don't think I can say that enough. Or you can log on to WPR.org.
It's a
perfect hour to pledge.
It's also the last 5 minutes to pledge, too. So
this
it makes it more perfect.
The perfect last 5 minutes to pledge, because this is the last.
And, as Rhonda said, we can't say it enough. 800-383-9772. Along the way during this pledge drive, some of the hosts, and I don't think Kathleen and Rhonda, but some of the hosts actually did not make the challenge grant goals. If you miss it by $10, $2, or $100, we actually don't ask and don't expect to receive these challenge grants. It only works when you go to your phone right now and help us make that goal this hour. $10 a month is pennies a day, and I know we've had a number of $1,200 pledges. Some people have said, well, $10 a month, yeah, I could do that. They've actually been pledging $100 a month. If you're in that category, and if you can pledge $100 a month right now, go to your phone, pledge your support, and help us end Kathleen and Rhonda's portion of this pledge drive with a successful hour, and you have 4 minutes to do it. 800-383-9772.
Think about the fact that we are the only place that will have conversations like this. And if it weren't for us, there wouldn't be as many people around to defend the Bill of Rights and to hear all kinds of viewpoints, and viewpoints that may you find outrageous, some that you really agree with, but really highlighting issues that are very, very crucial in our times. This is the place
That's
to
right.
go. So I have no problem at all with asking you to support us and give us your pledge right now. Plus, it's a great hour for it. $120, Molly Ivan's last book. 800-383-9772 is the number. 800-383-9772. We've only got 4 minutes left. I'm not kidding you.
Call
and
now.
Those calls are coming in. We're almost to 80 calls, and that is great. You're going to feel so good when you pledge this hour. Not only are you supporting public radio, you're supporting freedom of speech, you're supporting everything, the mission and vision that public radio stands for, and you're going to get a copy. Not just a book that's not even available
right.
yet on the bookstores,
right.
you're going to get an autographed
right.
copy of the book. Molly Ivan's Lou DeBose, autographed by Lou. He was so gracious to not only
was a great
offer
yeah.
to
great
autograph,
guest.
But
to pledge,
to pledge himself. The Bill of Wrongs, we will not be sending him a copy of Polly's own book. But perfect hour for you to call. So thanks to everyone who's called this hour. Keep those phones ringing throughout the news. 800-383-9772, or you can log on to WPR.org and pledge online.
And,
yeah,
when,
yeah,
and when you pledge $10 a month, it all goes to our programming here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It all comes back to you in great continued programming, just like you've heard today. 800-383-9772.
Thanks, Bill Estes. Thanks, Rhonda Fanning. And thanks to John Treader. Thanks to Rhonda for producing the hour as well. Thank you for pledging, everybody, and for all of your calls. We'll be with you again tomorrow. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.